Hello, sexy people. This is Tiffany Carlson, and this is episode 69 of No Free Rides, the coolest disability podcast on the planet. No Free Rides is brought to you by Go Mobility Solutions, makers of the sleekest traveling shower and bathroom chair available. Fold them up and bring them wherever you go. They're lightweight, compact, and come with an aesthetically pleasing carrying case. Find out more at goesanywhere.com. That's goesanywhere.com. So, hey, everybody, this is No Free Rides, and today is October 2nd, 2010. And with that, I say, what the fuck? Because I cannot believe it's already October. It's totally crazy. It just seemed like it was June, just last week or something. That is what at least happened in my life. I don't know about you, but my summers always fly by, and fall is now officially here. And the weather in Minneapolis is definitely feeling like Halloween-y and like the Halloween movie with like Jamie Lee Curtis, that kind of like weather where everyone's wearing jackets. It's kind of starting to feel like that here. It's a bit depressing, but it is what it is. And so we must soldier on like we soldier on as people with disabilities. It's something we can't change. It's too bad it couldn't be perpetually June. I mean, for me, that would be heaven. I don't know about you. I know someone that loves fall. Like, she hates spring, and she loves fall. And that, to me, that's just so depressing. Because that symbolizes you love the season of death more than you love the season of birth. But that's just me. It's different tastes. Today's October 2nd, and today is a really great episode. This episode is going to blow your mind. It's no ordinary episode. And why, you may be asking? Well, we have the brand spanking new Miss Wheelchair America 2011, Miss Alexandra MacArthur, on the show today, and she'll be gracing us with her adorable effervescent presence. She is seriously the cutest thing. She's 22 and from South Carolina, and she's a recent user of a wheelchair, and we'll talk more about that and about her life, her living in England for a while, and what her plans are as Miss Wheelchair America in the next year. We'll have her, you'll learn all of that, and this is actually her first podcast too, so it's kind of cool. So but first, before we bring Alexander on the show, gab session time, and that means I have a few topics, a few subjects that I want to talk about with you guys. And you can talk back with me, maybe not exactly in real time, but you could send me an email, and I would love to hear from you. So if you have any comments, we should start some kind of comment list or something on the show's Facebook page. So, but first, I've talked about this whole stem cell research kind of I don't want to say drama, but it kind of is on the show. And recently there's been some more developments, so I think I should talk about it because to me it's interesting and relevant to probably a handful of everybody listening. And so everyone knows that when President Obama became president in 2008, one of the first things he did was made it legal for federal funds to be used for stem cell research. And he allowed more lines, I believe, now too. So, but what happened just in August is that a judge deemed it illegal, actually, for federal funds to be used for embryonic research based on this law. And so apparently, if in layman's terms, the president can't overturn this law. At least that's what the judge is saying. And it's the Dickey Wicker Law. And the Dickey Wicker Law basically says it's against the law for the government to support any research involving the destruction of human embryos. So it's going back and forth. It's like a ping pong match. And it's kind of overwhelming, especially for people that are heavily involved in the scene, like people that are paralyzed, that are waiting for some kind of viable treatment, or people that work for the nonprofits that are raising the funds for the research that, you know, need as much freedom with, you know, if the more government support we have, the better, and then we could have bigger, just more support, and hopefully the research will come to pass faster. And so anyway, so this is kind of strange, but the good news is that just last Tuesday, September 28th, it went back in the favor of the government can now support stem cell research. So, embryonic stem cell research. So, it's a bit stressful. I'm glad I'm not totally hinged on it. I've learned to accept my life as it is, and I don't love it, love being paralyzed, but you know what I mean. But so anyways, it's kind of interesting, and it keeps going back and forth. And the next time I talk to you guys, it very well could be out of favor again, which would totally blow. But it is what it is. And also, I think this is the month for Disability Awareness Month, right? Let's double check. And I think it's a kind of a cool thing because, well, there's a lot of places that say it's different months for Disability Awareness Month, so I'm not sure. But I was looking at one of my friends, Miss Wheelchair California, is she still Miss Wheelchair California? Yeah. And she's just a dear heart. She's Miss Wheelchair California 2010. Yeah, and she just announced today, it's Disabilities Awareness Month. What are you doing to make people aware? This is Jennifer Kumiyama. She's super cool. And it is Disability Awareness Month. So what are you going to do this month to make people aware? And what does she mean by aware? It means educating people on disabilities so people don't walk around with ignorant attitudes, which, as we all know, is prevalent. It's a pandemic is what it is. So this is a really great opportunity just to kind of think about what you can do to kind of, you know, in your everyday life, just to try to make people aware of what your disability is, for example, so people don't assume, or you're just crippled or whatever. I mean, the more facts people understand about the specifics of a spinal cord injury or cerebral palsy or spina bifida or whatever, people will understand it, see it in a more clinical way, not a bigoted kind of way, is really what I believe, and that's why it's important. And so think about what you can do this month. So that is awesome. And also, before I bring on the new Miss Wheelchair America, I've been looking a lot at clothes lately. As you all know, I love clothes, and I always think about how clothes can look good when you're sitting, and it's not easy. But, you know, we've talked about it before on the program. I've had a couple of adapted fashion designers on here, and it's all about lines. Lines make the outfit. And when I say lines, I mean how the clothes look and fit on you, where they stop and where they hit. Do they hit at the waist? Do they hit at the thigh? Where do the pants hit? It's all about lines and getting the lines perfect for your frame. And yeah, taking your body weight, whether you're standing, whether you're sitting, your chest, everything, even your wheelchair and how it looks. And you have to look in a full-length mirror. And I've been doing this. This is kind of a new thing for me. I haven't always been so aware of lines and looking as good as I can by utilizing the magic that is lines. You know what I'm talking about? And it's really, really helping me look better. And I'm getting compliments on my body shape. And it's really cool because I never really had anyone ever really notice my waist and stuff. Because sitting down, it's super hard to show it. But with the lines, it's such a genius way to look at clothes. It's like a new way to look at fashion. So to kind of explain what I'm talking about, I'm always wearing a black cardigan, it seems. And it's a super cute, you know, black cotton cardigan that I got from The Gap. And actually, I just had to get a new one from oldnavy.com. So, and it hits me, if I was standing, it would probably hit right under my butt. So since I'm sitting, though, it bunches in the back, but it's not that bad because it's thin. And then the front of it kind of lays on my thighs. And that actually gives me an elongated torso look because the front of the cardigan lays on my thighs. And then I make sure I wear it open. And since I like the way my stomach is, I wear a t-shirt, but I make sure I buy them in long because I'm 5'10". So I want the t-shirt to hit as low on the waist as possible because that elongates the torso when you're sitting down and it makes you look just better, I think. And then, so I've been really just paying attention to that. And I tried on a pair of jeans from last year that I hadn't worn for a really long time. And I put them on just the other day. And this was before I really got into lines and how they really improve how I look. And then I put these jeans on and I was mortified. I was totally mortified. I looked so awful. And you're like, all right, Tiffany, whatever. But they were the Diva skinny jeans from Old Navy. And since my legs are, you know, somewhat skinnier than what the skinny jeans, you know, do at Old Navy, they look baggy on me. And all this extra, like, fabric, or, like, the waist seemed extra bulky, jeany. And it just, it was just awful. So I took them off and gave them to a thrift store. So I really want to share with you, and I hope you take this home with you, but remember what I'm talking about here, ladies, even guys in chairs, it's all about your lines. Don't have short, you know, shirts that ride up. A lot of this is just basic shit that you should know anyways. But it really helps to look in a full-length mirror and kind of get an overall look of your lines, just to see where everything is. It's really one of the coolest things you can do. And so, one more thing, then we'll bring on Alex. I know I've been talking a lot about my yoga that I've been doing, adapted yoga. And it's one of the first adapted yoga programs that exists in the whole world. And I'm really lucky because it's in Minneapolis, and it's through a studio called Mind Body Solutions. And it's mindbodysolutions.org. And the teacher, the guru, the guy that started it all is the most amazing, coolest guy ever I've ever met that's paralyzed. His name's Matt Sanford, and he's a hippie at heart. And he's about 41. He's married. He has a kid, a five-year-old boy, I think. And he's been practicing yoga since when he first lived in California, in the mid-80s. And he started developing adapted poses. And over the years, he has developed this strong practice, a personal practice. And then starting in the early 90s, he started getting pushed out of his shell, and people wanted him to start teaching. And we'll fast forward to today. There's now, he has a full-blown studio. He's going all around the world talking about his yoga. He's participating in a study at Rutgers that he's trying to prove how yoga can actually affect the spinal cord through an MRI, and it's really interesting stuff. And he's amazing, and I have the pleasure of being in his class every Monday night, and it's really, I feel blessed, because anywhere else I lived, if I would have lived anywhere else, I could never have done this, and this doesn't exist anywhere else. I even have people in California, apparently the fitness capital of the world, asking me about this adapted yoga and what's it all about, because I had never heard of it before. The good news is that this adapted yoga is going to be, we made videos of it, and they're going to be available on YouTube soon. So when they are, we'll put them up so you can actually see what adapted yoga is. Because a lot of people are like, how can you do yoga if you can't move your legs? Well, it's all about having lots of volunteers. My class has about 12 students. We all have disabilities. About 5 are wheelchair users. And then in addition to the teacher, Matt, we have about 6 volunteers that come in at night to help out with all the students. And usually there's a volunteer assigned to every student. And we do poses in our chairs. So you can do a lot of upper body poses in your chair. You can even put a couple of folding chairs in front of you and put your legs on those chairs while you're sitting in your wheelchair and do leg poses that way. But also the volunteers will get us on these mats and we'll do poses. Like I'll have a volunteer go back to back with me to help me with my balance, and then I can do poses. And then once they help my legs and everything into a pose, and I'll hold it. And the idea is to hold the pose and to breathe and to feel open for as long as possible. And that's where you get the true effect of the yoga. And the yoga that we're practicing is Iyengar yoga. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I can't recommend it enough. And I really, really hope that this yoga program starts to spread across the country. Because for me, for being paralyzed for as long as I have been, I've never felt this in tune with my body since my injury. And my teacher said he's noticed me sitting up straighter, looking more feminine. He says that he sees the dancer under my skin, because I was a dancer before I was hurt. So it's really cool. And I really believe in it. So mindbodysolutions.org. And you have to check it out. It's a really great yoga program, and I, like I said, we'll have some videos on YouTube soon so you can see. And you can also actually get a free DVD from their website that will show you some poses you can do at home. But anyway, so that's enough of me talking for this episode. We have someone way more interesting on the show. Hey everybody, as promised, today I'm very excited to have Miss Wheelchair 2011 on the show. Her name is Miss Alexandra MacArthur, and hello, Alex, are you there?
Hello, I am here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, this is so exciting. I love that. I love the fact that I don't know if you've done a podcast before. Have you yet since becoming Miss Wheelchair America?
I have not. This is my first. It's even more exciting.
Super cool. I had a feeling I might have been the first podcast. So this is awesome. So before we continue, I guess I'll just kind of give you a brief overview to everybody. You're from you live in Fayetteville, or
I'm in Charlotte.
You're
North
in
Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina, and you work at your alma mater, Davidson College.
I do, yes. Yeah, I work as the fellow for leadership development, so I do a lot of work with students. I help run a 4-year leadership development program.
Wow.
I help in conferences and retreats and things like that. It's
and,
a lot of fun.
And all at the age of 22, I believe?
Yes.
Wow.
I turned 23 next month.
23 next month. Okay, so that's super cool. So when did you win? When was the pageant, by the way, for Miss Wheelchair America?
The pageant was the second week in August. So I was crowned, I believe it was the 14th, maybe the 13th of August, and it was held in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wow, that's so cool. Okay, so I want to go over, I really want to delve into what the pageant was like, but before we do, why don't you just kind of tell everybody a little bit about, you know, kind of how you ended up becoming, you know, a woman who had to use a wheelchair and how that happened.
Sure. Well, I have muscular dystrophy, and so that's something you are born with. It's a genetic disorder that it's kind of this, for me at least, this a slow progression of weakening of the muscles. And I found out actually because my sister has it as well. So when she was in fifth grade, she was diagnosed because she was kind of running a little bit slower. Her gait was a little strange. And they thought, wonder what's going on here. They diagnosed her. She spent about a year in the hospital actually doing all these different tests and things like that. And so once she was diagnosed, they tested me as well and found out that I have it. And I was in fifth grade at that point. I was about 7.
Wow.
And I remember very clearly just this kind of vision because I didn't have any sort of, you know, symptoms or anything at that point. But I remember my mom kind of just falling to her knees and crying and holding me.
Oh, my gosh.
I was very excited.
Wow.
I was more like my sister.
Wow.
You know, that age, you're always excited to be like your older
You're excited? You're That's so funny.
Really, you know, as the years progressed, my condition did become more apparent, and so it was kind of a slow progression. In middle school, I definitely began using elevators much more rather than the stairs. I would run much less, and then in high school, I started using stools actually next to the desks just because slower seats were harder for me to get up from. I definitely always used the elevator and walked a little bit slower.
Yeah.
And I started using a wheelchair in college. Mm-hmm. My junior year of college, I actually went abroad to England.
Yeah.
And I had previously been using a golf cart to get around campus.
Oh,
but
well.
I realized I couldn't bring a golf cart over to England, and so my mom found a wheelchair on eBay, and she said, you know, this might be a good chance to transition to using it. I knew since I was diagnosed that I would most likely have to use a wheelchair at some point in my life.
Yeah.
And so it was a great time to try it out. It was a time of independence.
What kind of wheelchair was it?
A newfound way of getting around and a way of relating to people and that kind of thing, and so I've used a wheelchair ever since for about 3 years now.
So what kind of wheelchair did your mom find for you?
She found a Jazzy wheelchair, which has been a sturdy thing. I've taken it kind of through the paces, but it's still working, and it's been, you know, England and back. And
wow, that's crazy.
It's a great machine.
So what was, you know, when a lot of people, you know, like to look at their wheelchairs as like, this is like the worst case scenario, then, you know, I'm finally at the point where I'm in the wheelchair. Well, and I think, though, it's kind of interesting because then I bet it's, you've had some moments, though, where you probably like, wow, this makes my life, though, so much easier, though, at the same time. So it's kind of like it's really bad, but also I feel like it's in a way it's kind of free in some ways to have like the
power. Certainly.
The
power. I definitely felt that way. I mean, I felt very lucky that my parents were not in some ways, as I've heard of other stories, they felt like it was a transition I would have to make. It was something I would have to deal with, but it wasn't ever, you should do everything you can do to stay out of the chair. You know, with the progressive disease, it is that question of how do you balance both mobility and you know, the chance of having a fall or something, balanced with, you know, the ability to walk at the same speed as your friends because you're rolling alongside them.
Yep.
And so, you know, I felt very lucky that it was kind of, it didn't feel like this curse of, you know, once I'm in a chair, I'll never get out again.
And so,
you know, for a while, I could still get out of the chair and walk a few steps if needed. And it really was this very much newfound independence.
Yeah,
I could go around to, you know, walk around the city as much as I pleased for as long as I wanted. I could go by myself to lunch, to cafes, things like that. It really, it really, you know, changed the way I both moved around and changed the way I related to the world in general.
And you're so lucky, too, to have had parents who have just so supported you so well. And that's just awesome. I mean, it can, every family must have just their own way of dealing with something, you know, children.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, and so is your sister also progressed about the same rate as you have?
Yeah, it's very similar, actually. We've been kind of in the same, about the same progression, and it's funny because I don't know exactly what type of muscular dystrophy we have, because it is fairly rare in sisters, and we don't really progress similarly to any other type of muscular dystrophy.
Yeah.
and so it's funny that, you know, that we both are very similar in the progression, but otherwise not similar to anyone else.
Well, that's cool. You guys are beautiful. You're beautiful. And I think, you know, it's so interesting to become disabled as a teenager. I mean, to become a wheelchair user as a teenager. I did it as a 14-year-old. I became a wheelchair user. And it's an interesting thing. And, you know, how did you, you know, you're 22 going on 23. And what was it like for you at first, and you become, you know, now of course you're Miss Wheelchair America 2011, and you've kind of just really been, you're obviously a very strong person, but what are maybe just some advice or tips that you found that have helped you kind of just really distill, just not be like, just still be really strong and not really let it bog you down at all?
Sure. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is the amount of support I do have in my life. I have amazing family, friends, I have a wonderful boyfriend, who, you know, really helped me have that strength. But at the same time, I think you need to know that a lot of the strength comes from yourself. And I think, you know, it sounds cliche, but a lot of that is having a pretty strong sense of self, knowing who you are, knowing that you're valuable, knowing that, you know, you have a right to be a confident woman, and that's been very important to me. At the same time, I think it also, even if you are very confident and strong, you need to know when to ask for help.
Right.
I think that's been a really important lesson for me to learn, is that everyone needs help at different times. And so whether, you know, I may need to ask for emotional help, for physical help more than others, but there are other times that my friends and family call on me for some emotional support. And so I think that kind of two-way street, and recognizing that, you know, your assistant, or some, you know, when you need assistance, it may be more physical, but other people have just the same needs. It doesn't mean that you're not independent.
Right, and that's awesome. It's, and then I think that you're very blessed. I mean, you just seem pretty, like, you got your head on pretty straight out.
That's awesome. I like to think so. Every once in a while, I need someone to help me, you know, screw it on correctly.
So we,
part, I think, you know, it comes through a bit of reflection and just kind of taking things as they come, I guess.
So were you always into pageants? I mean, I don't. Were you that type of girl before, you know, or growing up, or?
Absolutely not.
No.
I always have been a bit more of a girly girl than my sister, I guess. I love makeup, and you know, I love those kind of aspects of being a girl. But to be honest, I think pageants, or I thought pageants, were something to laugh at.
Yeah.
You know, every once in a while we would have the Miss, you know, USA or something like that on, and watch it and you know, make comments, but not think too much of it. I didn't think it was a real way to make change or have a platform. And so and so I actually saw an article about the Miss Wheelchair pageant in the Muscular Dystrophy Association magazine. And so looking at that, I kind of thought, well, that's funny. I wonder, you know, why they have that.
Yeah.
Pageant, or I wonder what that is like. It was nothing I was ever drawn to do until I looked at the website. I just out of curiosity thought, I wonder if North Carolina has a program. So I looked at it, and it had the mission very clearly stated as trying to, you know, to find the most accomplished and articulate spokeswoman for people with disabilities to advocate for their issues, to raise awareness, to make change, and that was something that really spoke to me. Mm-hmm. At that time, I was, you know, still kind of newly identifying as a woman with a disability, mm-hmm. and I, besides my sister, had very little contact with other women with disabilities, and so looking at that, coinciding with the ability to speak to a large audience and make change through that. I've always really enjoyed public speaking, and I think it's very important to, whatever you're doing, think about how you can help others and how you can make positive change. And so that's what really changed my mind about you know, the positive aspects of pageants, and but also why I would ever want to compete.
So that just, you read the description and you were like, wow, that's totally cool. And then you were instantly kind of like, I want to do this.
Exactly. Yeah, it really was.
So when was that, like, then last year, or when did that happen?
Yeah, that was, I think it might have been last Christmas, actually.
Wow.
And then it was, I sent in my written application a few weeks later, and the North Carolina pageant was held in April.
Oh, yeah, and I... We're looking at pictures, and you looked really cute with the red.
Thank super cute. You.
So, what was your platform that in the state pageant? Or do you have
sure? Yeah. My platform has remained the same. It's been, you know, tweaked here and there, but it is the importance of employment for people with disabilities to promote inclusion. Mm-hmm. I think that inclusion happens on an individual basis. Mm-hmm. I think that it happens person to person when you get to know someone, whether they use a wheelchair or not, and it's hard not to believe that they should be included in you know, normal everyday life. Mm-hmm. And but going alongside that, I have really recognized it had the importance of my job as I graduated Davidson and, you know, searched for jobs and looked at, you know, what I wanted to do. I recognized the importance of employers being both receptive to hiring someone with a disability and recognizing the importance of creating an inclusive space for that person, an inclusive environment. And so putting those things together, I realized that that, you know, you spend most of your life in a job if you do have a job, and so with your coworkers you get to know them pretty well, sometimes better than you'd want, sometimes less than you'd want, but you know, a job can provide not only a livelihood, not only confidence, not only skills, but it also provides an opportunity for coworkers to get to know someone with a disability, and it lets you get to know their perspectives as well. And I think that is what is ultimately going to create positive change, is that kind of sharing of experiences and perspectives and recognizing different needs and varying strength levels and things like that. I think that will happen. I think it should happen in the workplace especially.
And it hasn't, like, I mean, this has been a constant issue that the government's been trying to kind of, you know, create, like, beneficial hiring laws and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the current? What do you know? What the current kind of state of all that is right now?
I think it's very much on the radar of our current government. The Office of Equal Employment and both the EEOC and the Office of Employment for People with Disabilities are extremely active right now in a way that I don't think they have been in the past. From the people that I've talked to, they said that it's very much something that is on the forefront of both potential kind of changes in labor laws and things like that, and I don't know what those changes would be, but it is going to be something that is reconsidered in terms of what is the level if someone is receiving benefits, whether they're Social Security or SSI benefits, mm-hmm. what is the level if they do get a job that they're taking off those benefits?
Yeah.
I know that's a real struggle. Right. If you are receiving Social Security benefits, it's almost sometimes it can be a disincentive to yeah. get a job.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's something especially that the government's looking at. But mm-hmm. it's also looking at how to best educate employers about the laws and about the myths that are currently surrounding both the American with Disabilities Act and mm-hmm. the hiring of people with disabilities in general.
It's such a hard thing to kind of educate.
There are a lot of facets to it. I think, you know, change may not happen quickly, but from the people I've spoken to, it's a pretty, it's being shed some light on. And so I think that's exciting yeah. that they are looking at really increasing the numbers of people right. with disabilities who are hired.
I know when President George W. Bush was in office, that was actually a one thing his office, disability consortium people were really focused on was employment of people with disabilities. It's a great issue whether you're Democrat or Republican, and,
yeah.
and both parties really support it. And it,
yeah,
I think right now a lot of people are suffering in terms of getting employed, mm-hmm. whether they have a disability or not, but. I think I just read an article recently. I think it was in the United Spinals magazine called there was an article about how people with disabilities are even suffering more than the average person.
Exactly. You know. They're usually the first to go in a sad way. It just yes. it can be one of the first people who are fired in this economy, which is very sad.
So when you first gave your platform speech on this issue, how long did it have to be? I mean, what was like? Did you have to do was it a pretty intense kind of like speech? I've never done a pageant before. I'm just curious.
Well, it's funny. Ways they evaluate are both through interviews. Mm-hmm. So at the state level, we had I think 10 minutes worth of interviews, and at the national level, we had 25 minutes okay. worth of interviews with the panel of judges. Mm-hmm. And those questions were pretty intense. Wow. They grilled you about your platform. They grilled you about who you were, what you believe in, yeah. what your view of people with disabilities are, how you mm-hmm. articulate the needs and the issues of people with disabilities to others. And then the platform speech was a very strict 2-minute speech. So you could not go over, you could not use script, anything like that. Mm-hmm. And 2 minutes is not very long to get into some of these issues.
Not at all. That's great.
But it was mm-hmm. amazing to me, especially on the national level, the variety of issues and platforms that the women had mm-hmm. and the way they were really able to get into it with 2 minutes. I mean,
yeah.
there was so much passion and belief and knowledge there that they, mm-hmm. Each person was able to really demonstrate what they believed in 2 minutes.
That's great. I mean, I think it's a really seems to be just a really great mental kind of exercise to kind of
mm-hmm.
to do a large kind of issue like that and to shrink it down to a 2-minute thing and
right.
you know, and then to just
yeah, it's hard to do.
I think it's really cool. I used to do speech tournaments, so
uh-huh.
anyways, but so in the state pageant and then of course in the national pageant that you were just in, I imagine you met some fascinating women that have
yeah.
What have been some more just like touching moments that you've had and people like other contestants that you've encountered this year?
Sure. I mean, it's been pretty incredible all along the way through the state pageant. I was able to meet last year's Miss Wheelchair America, who was also
uh-huh.
From North Carolina, and so being able to hear her story and what she's doing, and you know, at that point, just yeah. you know, I was just competing for the state level, so I'm uh-huh. kind of in awe about what
yeah.
she was doing, and
Erica,
how she got so far, and everything like that.
You're talking about you're talking about Erica, right?
Yeah,
Erica's great. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I really didn't know what to expect at the national pageant. It was 27 other
yeah.
women and their families, and my family was not actually able to come with me, so it was
Aww.
Just my boyfriend and me. And
well, that's so good though.
And I was very excited about meeting the other women, but at the same time, I recognize that you don't always connect with people just because they're in wheelchairs.
No, no, like, absolutely not.
That's a strange assumption that a lot of people have.
No, you're absolutely right. No, just because if someone is of Native American ancestry, I mean, they're Asian. It's a very silly idea, but we, you know, I think. But the thing is, they can relate to what it's like to not walk. They can relate to that. That's the one thing. That's it.
Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, so I came into it thinking, you know, I may have some, unique experiences, but you know, who knows what kind of connections I'll make. And all of the women really blew me away. I mean, the knowledge and strength and inspiring positivity in the room every time we were all collected together was really amazing. You really just kind of feel it in the room.
Do you have any other than Erica, was there any particular story of someone you met Miss California Jennifer. Mm-hmm. What was she like in person?
Oh my gosh, she's amazing. She was, you know, all smiles all the time.
Yeah.
And and she, we probably read her story, but she's one of the first. She is the first woman in a wheelchair to perform in a Disney spectacular.
I know, it's so cool.
Which she performs in California. And
what does she do again?
She did her platform speech, and at the end she sang a very short line from Cinderella. I'm trying to think.
All right, Cinderella.
So. And we all just burst out laughing and cheering, and I think that was one of the most special moments to me was doing their platform speeches. You know, you're expecting to be nervous and think, you know, oh, I need to, you know, think of my platform speech. Mm-hmm. You're kind of, I was disappointed because I was thinking, oh, well, I want to hear all the other ones, but I'm probably going to be kind of repeating it in my head just to make sure I have it. And as soon as, you know, the first person went up for her speech, that was it. We were just, each of us were listening. And I talked to some of my friends afterward about if they felt the same way. And I said, yeah, you know, I thought I was going to be nervous, but all I could do was listen to each person and what they were saying and just be, you know, in awe of each of the caliber of each of the speeches.
Is it growing still? Is the passion, like, bigger than ever?
It is. And every year, there were three independent delegates, meaning there's not a program in their state, but they're starting a program this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then every year, it becomes a little bit bigger.
That's so cool. The program just seems to just be thriving, and it's really so cool because, you know, I think more people are starting to know about Miss Wheelchair America even exists. I imagine, I mean, when you won, it's such an exciting title because you can now you have such a it's like a wielded sword you have now you can do so much with this for the year. What are some of your main goals that you want to accomplish as Miss Wheelchair America 2011?
I think I'm trying to be pretty intentional about what I'm doing. I am, I'm still Miss Wheelchair North Carolina 2010 as well, and so I want to be sure that I'm also representing my state at the same time as being able to represent nationally. Mm-hmm. And so especially during October Disability Awareness Month, I'm going to mostly do events around my state.
Okay.
And then from there, I am very excited to go up to D.C. And be able to really lobby on the national level and be able to talk to some people who are in government and are, you know, making the laws like we talked about, that putting the, you know, employment on the radar, I think is very, very important.
Oh, it's so cool.
I'm very excited to collaborate with organizations such as Enable America that work every day to help put people in jobs and educate employers. At the same time, that's an important part of my advocacy as well, is talking to employers. I'm in a meeting with human resources organizations to be able to both answer questions that they have about hiring someone with a disability and, like I said, dispel some of the myths that exist about the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think that, you know, reaching both as many people as possible is very important, but reaching the right people is also really important for this year.
So will you be living in D.C. then?
I will not. I will also do this during my full-time job at Davidson.
That's hardcore. That's going to be great.
I'm applying to law school for the next fall.
You better get your flu shot.
this fall is a little crazy, but that's the way we like it.
That's great. It's very active. And, how are you going to, maintain, your energy levels?
I know, that's a question. I think, trying to get as much sleep as possible, but what I'm really realizing is that not only my job, but especially what I'm doing for Miss Wheelchair America, it gives me energy. To some people, traveling every weekend is exhausting, but when I'm traveling to go to, expos or go give a speech or make an appearance or go to a conference, that gives me energy.
That means that's great.
I think knowing the importance of what I'm doing and being able to spread the word and spread awareness, that's good enough for me.
Well, that's a true extrovert right there.
That's true too.
So what else when you're Miss Wheelchair America, do you have a coordinator that you are working with, and they're telling you, informing you upcoming things you're going to be doing as part of your?
A little bit. It's really great because they kind of put ownership on me, and so they recognize that every different Miss Wheelchair America is going to have different abilities and different time constraints and things like that, and so they will help me both find events and kind of organize around events, but there aren't too many things that they say you must go do this, because they recognize that people, just have different abilities, and so
That's good.
And so, but I'm very, very grateful because they are very great, very good about kind of helping me through some things and coordinating things and making sure that I have what I need to be as productive as possible this year.
That's great. So then, do they help you? Do you get help with do you have to pay for all your flying, or is that part of the title? I'm just curious.
It's a little bit of both. They do have, we have travel vouchers through American Airlines, so I can use some of the travel vouchers, and I do accept sponsorship.
Well, that's great.
So when I am going somewhere or when I need to fundraise for a big event, I ask either local businesses or, friends and family, whoever
sponsors.
Can help to help sponsor me for these travel arrangements.
Sponsors.
And so the Miss Wheelchair America organization is a nonprofit organization, and so donations that are made to the organization that are designated for my travel fund are both tax exempt, and they help support me be able to go to these events.
I hope you should get on a talk show. You should be on. You should be on. I don't know. I think it would be really cool if you were on the new, or I don't know, Dave Letterman or something like that.
That sounds good to me.
Someone should make that happen. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it would be great. I think because, I feel like I think that America is wants to see this. I think that I think it needs to get put out there more. People will just watch it. You've seen those TV shows or on TLC about the girls, the paralyzed and pregnant, and all these other types of disabled shows. I think there needs to be an Archie and Glee. I really feel like disability. I think America is more comfortable with it. Than people realize sometimes. I don't know.
I think it's becoming more and more visible, and I think it needs to become more visible as well. Think that media is a very, very strong presence in everyone's lives. And so the more we can have it show, both real life and be representative of what people are actually going through, the better.
So when you were living in England, when you first started using your jazzy wheelchair, was it hard? Was accessibility in England really difficult?
It was funny, actually. I didn't know what to expect since I've never used a wheelchair in America. I didn't know really how to compare it. But the thing that I've noticed, especially now being back, is that It was a different, I think a different philosophy in some ways. I mean, London is a very old city. There are a lot of very inaccessible locations. But at the same time, you know, if we pulled up to a pub and there were a few steps coming, you know, going up to the door, 9 times out of 10, the pub owner or the person working there would run out and say, "Oh, don't worry, we have a ramp, we have a ramp." And he would come out with a with a metal ramp that he could, you know, lay down. It was pretty steep, but luckily, you know, Jazzy could go on over it, and it made it possible. Wow. Whereas here, I feel like a lot of times people pretty quickly kind of hide away and say, "Oh, sorry, we're not accessible."
Yeah.
Right? Or, yeah, "Sorry, we don't have the money to renovate." End of story. Whereas, you know, some simple solutions like a piece of metal can make it possible for someone to come in.
Mm. What kind of town was it that you were staying at when you were over there?
I was in Brighton, England, which is a pretty big city. It's one of the biggest cities in England. It's in the south. It's on the coast, which is just a beautiful, very friendly, but also, you know, big. But then at the same time, you can get you get to know it pretty easily. It's a small area.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an incredible time.
And so you were there for how long?
For 3 months.
And so I've always wanted to do something overseas as an, you know, wheelchair user. Been a little undaunted, and I have yet to get that under my belt, but I always like to hear about people's stories. And I hear it over and over again, though, but the people, friendly people, just make all the difference, you know. Hospitable locals, that's so cool. So, as you've been, you know, since you've only been, you know, been officially Miss Wheelchair America for over a little over a month, I guess you can't really tell us too much about what it's been like since then, but maybe you could just shed a little light on what it's been like since you've, you know, come back home, and if are people treating you differently, or what's it been like?
No, not too much.
No?
I've been really, really grateful to my friends and family and coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of people who are very, very excited for me just kind of, you know, supported me and said this is a really exciting accomplishment for you, but also they know the importance of the advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what I've appreciated the most is when, you know, people recognize it's not a beauty pageant.
It's not anything like that.
And they're quick to say, you know, "Congratulations, and I'm really excited about what you're going to do with it this year."
Wow.
And so that's been pretty great about, you know, people sending me either links or events or asking me to do things.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciated that. And so it's been a little bit exhausting, I'll be honest, so far so good.
So far so good.
And so I think I'm ready for really sinking my teeth into it. I am taking some time to think about, you know, what does this year hold? Because I feel like it's been so whirlwind so far that I wanted to have some time to think it through and to think about, you know, how am I going to make my mark as Miss Wheelchair America.
I know, it's
but
so exciting.
At the same time, you can't think for too long, and I'm always ready to get going.
You need an advisor. Like, you need a
mentor. I think so. I need a manager.
You need a mentor. Well, how's your boyfriend handling all of this?
He's wonderful.
Yeah.
It was really special for him to be there with me. I think it was especially helpful because he understands how important this is to me. He understands the people I met there and the good that the organization does and how it empowers women. And you know, I send him things all the time and say, you know, "Well, what about this event?" Or, "Who should I contact here?" Or, "I heard about this. Can you research this for me and then get back to me about it?" So he's kind of like my manager right now. He's really helpful.
That's so cool. And so also we're going to talk about a couple girly things before I let you go, because since, you know, you're sort of new to using a chair, so not really that new, but, you know, what if, like, you've had to, like, and do you have any, like, cool, like, little fashion tricks to, like, share with girls for, like, you know, having a dress, sitting down, and how you've had to, like, come up with new, like, techniques or stuff like that?
Yeah, well, something I definitely appreciate is the fact that both no one can see your back for the most part. I mean, sometimes they can.
No, I know.
And so, you know, sometimes I'll have my skirt, you know, not totally zipped up,
uh-huh.
a little bit more comfortable that way.
And
you can also, I find that you can wear, you know, a shirt basically as a dress if you have some leggings underneath it or something like that.
Yeah.
If you're sitting. So if you were standing, maybe it would be, you know,
yes.
out over your butt, but otherwise, if you're sitting, it's a nice length.
I know. I have done that. I have a short sleeve black shirt that I wear as a skirt.
Definitely.
Which is super funny. So, have you, with your dresses, did you get them, any of them custom made, or were they just something that you bought off the rack?
All of mine have been bought off the rack.
Yeah.
But I am very excited that by winning Miss Wheelchair America, they do, Legaware is one of the sponsors, and so I will get a custom made suit from them.
That's awesome.
Which is really exciting. Their founder is in a wheelchair and recognized that, you know, things fit differently on people who use wheelchairs.
Yep.
And so he sought to create a custom made, both affordable suit for people who use wheelchairs. So that will be my first custom made item of clothing. But otherwise, it's just kind of like you're saying, you know, retrofitting or figuring out, you know, what is an accessible hemline, what's not, what fits, what doesn't.
And hey, do you still drive? Can you drive a car?
I do, yes, I do. But I am currently working with vocational rehab in North Carolina to get an adapted van.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
the car that I can drive is not an adapted van or anything like that. And so I'll be hopefully getting an adapted van with hand control.
Oh, I hope you get that. That's great.
Yeah,
that
that would be, you know, one of the, like, that's the biggest thing that I feel very dependent on right now is needing to have, you know, someone with me at all times when I'm driving. To be able to get in and out of the car and things like that. So that would be amazing.
Well, I hope that the vocal rehab can do great things. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's so exciting. I'm so excited to have talked with you. It's always fun to actually hear someone talk because, you know, I've been just reading about you on the internet, and that's all I've seen. I've seen your smiling face and a couple of short articles about you, but this is good. So, you know, and it's great because, you know, this is just, you have 11 months ahead of you, girl.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting.
And I hope, and I really...
Thank you so much for having me out here. I'm really excited. And if I can just say, too, that, you know, if anyone would like to contact me either about speaking engagements or about sponsors, my email is very easy. It's miss.wheelchairamerica.2011@gmail.com. So, you know, if you want to just ask me a question or anything of the sort, please don't feel free.
Excellent.
Or please do feel free to contact me.
Awesome. And I'll post that email address along with this podcast so people can do that. And we'll also put, of course, MissWheelchairAmerica.org up there. And
perfect.
And I wish you success in D.C. with your employment initiatives. That's the most so exciting. And maybe we'll talk with you later next year and see, kind of check in with you. So
that sounds wonderful.
Awesome.
Hopefully you'll get a lot of good events and a lot of positive change has happened by then.
All right. Well, good luck, and I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Bye-bye.